626. It is well with my soul. Whether there's peace or whether there's tumultuous times, we're going to strive to do what God asks us to do, and what things happen, it is well with our soul because we know that God is taking care of us. Let's stand as we sing all four verses of this song.
When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well.
Is there to the 128.
It is good to be back with you. I always enjoy coming home and being with the brethren here when I'm gone. Contrary to popular opinion, I do tell people when I'm leaving and when they will need somebody else to speak. So maybe in the future we'll get that process worked out even better. I have listened to some of you who are parents of younger children talk about your children participating in soccer and baseball and various other sports, basketball. And I'm reminded, although my own sons are to the point of leaving home, I'm reminded of when in Texas they were involved in the very same kinds of things. We belonged for a while to the YMCA in Port Arthur, Texas. And when the boys were about 7 to 9 years old, and because of the fact that David and Jonathan were fairly close in age, they typically played on the same team, I was blessed with the opportunity to coach that team. Every father should be forced to do that at least once. And usually that's how it happens, kicking and screaming. You sign up. And the reason every father ought to have to do that is because it is a lesson in attention, getting people's attention. I don't remember exactly how many players we had, probably somewhere around 8 or 10 kids on the team. But it wasn't so much about teaching basketball as it was getting their attention. There are many times when we would be out on the court and I'd be talking to them trying to explain what we were going to do and how they needed to do something, and I could look at their faces and their eyes were going off. And there were other things going on in the gym. Other teams were practicing and kids were yelling and everything. And I'd be focusing on them and you could just tell their eyes were flitting here and there and someplace else. There were times I just wanted to take their heads and just hold them and say, "Can you hear what my mouth is saying?" Because they weren't listening. And they'd nod and nod, but they didn't hear a word I said. And it was pretty apparent once we started doing whatever it was we were doing. They had no clue what we were doing. Well, they were listening to something else. And as soon as I began a sentence, they were often nodding and running away before they really even understood what was being said. It was a very frustrating experience. It has occurred to me, though, that sometimes as adults, we don't do a whole lot better when it comes to the matter of listening. Listening to one another. Listening to God. We may maintain better eye contact, not always, but we sometimes don't focus on the message any more than the little kids do. There are a number of reasons for that. And I'm going to talk about those, some of those this morning. I was talking to Deb one time. "I'm going to preach on listening," I said to her. "What do you think I should say about it?" She said, "Huh?" And that's the way we are about listening. "Huh? Did you say something?" We heard voices. We were focused on something else. I think she was just trying to pull my leg. But it's interesting to me that when you go to the book of Revelation and you look at all of the letters that Jesus dictated through the Holy Spirit to the Apostle John, every one of those letters has a common element. Every one of them contains this verse: "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." That's God's way of saying, are you listening? And Jesus said that on a number of occasions. Slightly different form. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. There's an irony to that statement. That's what your ears are for. They're for hearing. But what Jesus is saying is that not everybody's willing to listen. Not everybody has ears that are inclined to pay attention to what's being said. And those that will listen, then the information is there. And the Bible actually is laden with invitations to listen to what God has to say. And so this morning what I'd like to do is talk to you a little bit about why we don't listen. Not just to fill time, but so that we can examine our own selves and see if these are problems we have about listening. I want to talk to you about the importance of listening, and I intend to write a follow-up article, I think, in the bulletin here the next week or so about listening and accepting what God has to say. But this morning I want to suggest to you about four different reasons that sometimes we don't listen to one another. Like these little kids that I was coaching in YMCA basketball, sometimes we're just distracted by other things. There's too much going on. I didn't finish my bachelor's degree until way later than most people do. So I was kind of the older person in with a bunch of kids. They were 18 and 19 and 20 years old. And I was something older than that. But it just always shocked me how many times college professors would have to repeat what was said. You couldn't get the attention of a class of 25 people so that you could say something and they would get it the first time. It didn't make any difference how important it was. It would be said, and then somebody would pop up 2 minutes later and ask what was said just that brief a period before. And you'd have to repeat it again. I got weary of having to hear the same things over again because people weren't listening. Some of that's youth. Some of it's just because we don't value the information. I must tell you, there are times, a lot of times, when I find myself, this is confession hour, I'll find myself saying to Deb, "Did you say something?" And she'll say, "Yes." And she'll repeat it. But I was off in Neverland. I was thinking about sermons or bulletins or shooting deer or something else, anything else. And I'm only dimly aware of the fact that she is trying to communicate with me. But I'm distracted by other things. You ever like that? You know, one of the things that just really bothers me? You go to somebody's house and you're going to sit down and visit and the TV's going. And people are trying to hold a conversation at the same time that they're watching the television. Now, if they're talking about what's on the television, that's okay. But I've lots of times come to visit people, members, non-members alike, and you come into their home and, "Hey, come on in, sit down." We sit in the living room and the TV is there. And you're holding a conversation. It goes like this. "Yeah, I did that one time." And you're constantly being pulled away by what's going on the television. And you know, sometimes people just never get the hint that maybe we could turn the television off and we could talk and listen to what each other is saying. Sometimes we're just too distracted. Sometimes we don't have time to listen. We're too busy. You ever done this? You bought something, got it home, you got to assemble it, and the destructions are this thick. But there's one of those little Allen wrench type things. You just know you can figure this out. It's got all the parts in there. Six little bags filled with screws of 70 different sizes and shapes. But you don't want to take the time to read through that. Jonathan's terrible about that. The only problem is he'll finish it when I'm still taking things apart and going back and looking at the directions. I didn't have time to read the directions, to listen to how it is that it's supposed to be put together. So I end up spending more time later redoing what I've already messed up. Families sometimes are on the go so much that family members, which ought to be some of the closest relationships on earth, don't have time to talk to each other. Ever been like that? You see your mate just in passing. You're coming, she's going. You're going to work, she's coming. You're coming home, she's out. Take care of the kids and children. You come home from work and they're gone. And by the time they get home, you're in bed, or they're in bed before you get home. And people sometimes go days without talking to each other or having conversations. Frank Ritchie lives over in the Florence area, came and spoke to one of our preacher studies. We have a monthly preacher study here on Thursdays. He talked about school violence. He made the interesting point that a lot of the kids that are problem kids in schools are the kids that nobody has any time for. Nobody pays attention to them. Their parents don't have time for them. Parents don't have time to listen to those kids. Those kids are crying out for attention. And I'll tell you what, if you won't give it to them voluntarily, they'll grab it. They'll shoot somebody. Or they'll act out in some other way so that they get your attention. That was an interesting point. Problem is that we don't spend enough time and money on schools. It's that at home, we don't have any time for our kids. A lot of marriages are in trouble because we don't have time to listen to each other. We're not talking. We've got a lot of other things going on, but we don't have time to listen. Sometimes experiment. Go to the Books A Million or Barnes and Noble. Go to the self-help section. Go to the marriage self-help section and look at those books and see how many of them talk about communication as a major marriage problem. Bad communication. People just don't talk. Sometimes we don't listen because we don't like what's being said. Young people sometimes are like that. But older people alike. We tune people out because we don't really like the message. Now, if Dad's telling me I can borrow the car Saturday night and my curfew is now 1 o'clock instead of 9 o'clock, I hear that. When he tells me that my grades need to come up or that I need to be more responsible about helping around the house, somehow I just didn't catch all that. Ever had that problem? Just not listening because I don't like what's being said. Sometimes we've already made up our minds what we want to hear. There was a movie several years ago in which Richard Dreyfuss played the part of a paraplegic. The movie's title was, Whose Life Is It Anyway? And in the movie, Richard Dreyfuss wanted to die. Paraplegic, his life's over. He just wants to die. And in the movie, everybody's coming to him and they're not listening to what he's saying. There's some of them that come to him and say, why, of course you want to live and learn to type with your mouth. He's telling them, I want to die. But they didn't want to hear that. So they weren't listening to what he was saying, and he was frustrated because he couldn't get across the message that he wanted to get across. I think sometimes this goes hand in hand with what the previous reason. Sometimes we don't like what's being said, so we make up our mind what somebody's really saying without really listening to what they've said. When we study God's Word, we are listening to God. Oh, there are all kinds of people today who will tell you that God's talked to them. God told me to come here and buy this, or God told me to go there and do that. But you and I know that God speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through His Son. And that Son delivered the revelation that we know is the New Testament or the New Covenant. And that's how we listen to Him. People are very quick to get down on their knees and pray to God, particularly when they want God to listen. But who's listening to God? And I will tell you that sometimes we don't listen to God because we're distracted by all kinds of other things. Television is an instrument of the devil, and I say that without fear of contradiction. If you want to talk about that more, we'll talk about it. But the fact of the matter, it is destroying us as a society and as a culture. It's destroying God's people morally from the inside out. so many things to listen to. Sometimes we're distracted and we don't have time to listen to God. The same person who will tell you that they can't read through a Bible book in a week will spend 17 hours in front of a television. Now tell me who we're fooling here. That we don't have time to listen to God or that we're distracted by other things. Man is constantly looking for the answers to life's problems, but he looks to the wrong sources. Doesn't have time to listen to what God has to say. And sometimes people are too busy enjoying life to listen to anything that God has to say. When we lived over on Barnstable Court prior to moving into the house on Orville Smith, I used to invite my neighbor to the gospel meetings that we had. He was a friendly guy, and we used to talk, and they would offer to do things for us and vice versa. And nice guy, nice family. You know, he just never had time to come to the gospel meeting. Never had time to come listen to what God had to say. He was really busy. He golfed, fished, and went to Walt Disney World for vacations. He always had something going on. No time for God. No time to listen. Bible study, Bible study, Bible study. Does it sometimes seem to you like we just spend a lot of time talking about what the Bible says? I'll tell you why. That's how we listen to what God has to say. And if you're not studying, you're not listening. And sometimes when we study, we don't listen all that well. People wonder why it is we spend so much time studying about the Bible. It's because that's how we hear what God has to say. But sometimes people don't listen to God because they don't like what's being said. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, to the first chapter. I appreciate if we can begin in verse 20. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. Wisdom is personified here. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called and you refused. I've stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. The writer talks about wisdom as a woman who's out and she's crying and trying to get people's attention. They don't want to listen. And she says, well, the time will come when you'll pay for not listening. And I'm going to laugh then at the calamities that come upon you because you could have avoided those things. Read along with me all the way through the end of the chapter. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Brethren, I cannot tell you how many times over the years people have come to me and they're moaning about the problems that they're having, frequently family or marriage problems, and I know good and well those are the very things that I've talked to people about from the pulpit, but nobody was listening. Or they're off doing their things instead of coming and listening to what God has to say, or when they were here, they didn't hear it anyway. And now calamity's arrived, and they're very worried about what's happening in their families, in their lives. The truth of the matter is, God had already been talking to them about this. They weren't listening. Often, because they didn't want to hear what was said. Over in Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, verse 10, Jeremiah said, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Bible study, what a weariness. We would have to listen to what God has to say. Ears are closed. The same chapter, a little bit later on in the chapter. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Therefore, hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, because they've not heeded my words, nor my law, but rejected it. Jeremiah's job was a sad one. He basically was the last prophet to the nation prior to the exile of the southern kingdom. And he preached the word of the Lord to them, but they didn't want to listen to that. It didn't conform to what they wanted to do. And so God brought the sword, and he brought famine, and he brought suffering and death on these people, because they wouldn't listen. And we likewise, if we don't listen to God because we don't like the message, we'll likewise suffer. In Acts, the 22nd chapter, the Apostle Paul has been rescued, actually, in chapter 1 by the Roman soldiers near the temple precincts. And Paul, as was his custom because of his great love for his own countrymen, asked for permission to speak to them. And he begins to talk to them in Acts chapter 22. And he relates to them his former life. And he talks about his experiences. If you're in chapter 22 already, note he says in verse 17, now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance and saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. And they listened to him until this word. And then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he's not fit to live. Up until that point, it was all okay. But then they heard something they didn't like, and once again, they're throwing dust in the air, and they're creating commotion, would like to kill Paul. Our ears are closed. Paul, the same apostle, warned the young evangelist Timothy in his final letter to that man about the fact that sometimes people will close their ears. He said the time was going to come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers. They'll find people who will tell them what they want to hear. Those are the ones they listen to, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth. Are you willing to listen to the truth, regardless of what it says? Regardless of the changes that it calls upon us to make in our lives, are you willing to listen to the truth? Or do we just tune out those things we really don't like? I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what the Bible says. That is an arrogant attitude and requires repentance. You can't go to heaven that way. I'll just tell you flat. You're not willing to listen to God. And the truth of the matter is, He'll not listen to you. And then sometimes we've already made up our minds what we want to hear. It's amazing sometimes what people will hear a preacher say. I preach my heart out at times and go back to the back of the auditorium after the sermon, people coming out, and I've been congratulated by people for saying the very opposite of what I said. Didn't hear a word I said. They already knew what they wanted to hear, and they just transposed that on to me. That or I was asleep while I was preaching. Sleep preaching is a serious problem among preachers. You've seen that when you talk to your neighbors, haven't you? When you talk to them about various religious errors, and they already know what they want to hear. And so you go to a passage and you read a passage, and instead of listening to what the passage says, they're already transposing what they believe, what they've been told by Pastor so-and-so for so many years about what that passage teaches. Never heard it. Never heard it. That passage says what they believe. They already know, have made up their minds what they want to hear. There's an interesting word study on the word hear in the New Testament. There's more than one word in the Greek language for hearing or listening. And if we were to look at about three different related words, I think it'd be interesting. We could see the relationship of a couple of things. The word akouo means to hear. As a compound word, and you can see the original word, at least the root of it, in this word. This word, this Greek word, hupakouo, is translated obedience in the New Testament. It's just a compound of word to hear. But literally what it means is to hear under. It means somebody hears and heeds what's being said. In fact, the verb form of that just means to obey. This is the word for hearing. Hearing and obedience are so closely related. You see that even in the words that are translated, hear and or obey. You cannot obey if you're not listening to what God instructs. In Jeremiah the 11th chapter and in verse 6, Jeremiah addresses the people of Judah. He says, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear the words of this covenant and do them. For I earnestly exhorted your fathers in the day I brought them up out of the land of Egypt until this day, rising early and exhorting, saying, obey my voice. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but everyone followed the dictates of his evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant which I commanded them to do, but which they have not done. Many times in the Scriptures, God affirms that if we won't listen to Him, He will not listen to us. We want to pray for our families. We want to pray for our spiritual brethren, friends when they're sick. We have all kinds of requests of God. Will He listen to us if we will not listen to Him? Well, Jeremiah answers that question. Chapter 11, just a little bit further on. And the Lord said to me, a conspiracy has been found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They've turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers who refused to hear my words. And they have gone after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant which I made with their fathers. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will surely bring calamity on them, which they will not be able to escape, and though they cry out to me, I will not listen to them. When we pray, we're talking to God, but if you're not willing to listen to Him when He speaks to you through Bible study, then He says, I'll not listen. That's what He told His people in the Old Testament. Micah, the 3rd chapter, Micah, a stern prophet, preached to the rulers, the leaders of Israel. And he says, hear now, O heads of Jacob, and you rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice? Of course, they are the leaders, they are the ones responsible for justice. You who hate good and love evil, who strip the skin from my people and the flesh from their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people, flay their skin from them, break their bones and chop them in pieces like meat for the pot, like flesh in the cauldron. That's rather graphic. He's just saying, you're taking advantage of my people. You don't listen. Then they'll cry to the Lord, that is these rulers will, but He will not hear them. He will even hide His face from them at that time because they've been evil in their deeds. God doesn't listen. But God will bless us if we listen to Him. In the next slide here, I've actually started in verse 13, but I'd like you to turn to Psalm 81, and let's begin reading a little bit earlier than is on the screen. In Psalm 81, let's back up to verse 8 and start our reading there. In verse 8, hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you will listen to me, there shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey from the rock. I would have satisfied you. God says, if Israel would just have listened to me, I would have blessed them beyond their wildest imaginations. They wouldn't. And so I just turned them over to their own stubborn hearts. He says, to walk in their own counsels. God will not bless if we don't listen. Very simple message this morning. You and I need to be swift to hear what God has to say. Slow to be talking, quicker to be listening. When we do that in our study of God's Word, we need to listen closely, accept God's Word for what it really says, then obey it. Now, a lot of people won't do that. They don't want to listen to God. They've got their own ideas, their own feelings about what they want to do. But I'll tell you what, there's coming a day when everybody's going to listen. Paul describes that day in 1 Thessalonians 4. He talks about the coming of the Lord. There'll be some people alive then, maybe none of us, who knows? It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it might be 300 years from now. We may all be memories. But there's coming a day when the Lord's voice will sound and everybody listens. Nobody's going to miss it. You don't have any options then. Nobody will be too busy. Nobody will be distracted. Everybody in the grave will hear and we'll all rise and we'll all stand before God and we'll be judged. Nobody will miss the appointment. And those who are too busy to listen now will find to their dismay that calamity comes upon them. They'll be consigned to eternal condemnation. Those who are distracted now or just don't like what God has to say will have to face it anyway because they didn't submit to Him. They'll find themselves punished by Him. But today we still have the opportunity to listen. The Hebrew writer said in chapter 3, "Today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years before I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they have not known my ways." The Hebrew writer in chapter 3 is warning his readers, Christians, about falling into the same error as their forefathers, the nation of Israel, the generation that came out of Egypt, who wouldn't listen to God, who hardened their hearts. And the writer goes on to say in verses 11 and 12 there, "Be careful lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." We need to be careful about having our hearts hardened through the deceitfulness of sin so that we won't listen anymore. Are you listening? Will you obey? Inclining the ear to what God has to say and then obeying it. Absolutely crucial for us. Now is the time to hear Him. Time will come when we won't have any choice. There'll be no blessing then. But if you'll listen now, He'll bestow His blessings and He'll guide us. He'll give us blessings not only here, but in the life to come. If you need to obey the gospel this morning, you know what God said about His Son. You know there's no other way for you to enjoy salvation except through the name of Jesus Christ. That is, through the remedial work, the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Then believe in Him. As the Son of God, confess that faith before this audience this morning. Having repented of your sins, we'll bury you in baptism for the remission of your sins, and you can be a spiritual child of God. Are you listening? Some says, "I don't think I want to be saved that way." Well, there isn't any other way. You have to listen to God. Maybe there's Christians here who haven't been listening. Haven't been listening to God. Have a hard time separating the messenger from the message. Don't like the messenger, so they're going to refuse the message. If you reject the message, you reject God. And rebellion will be punished. If you need to repent of that kind of sin, your brethren know that's your attitude, then you need to take care of that, and you need to do that today while you have the opportunity to do it. We stand to invite you as we sing.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own. It shall be Thy throne.